Hello, Market Watcher. I'm David Ravel, and this is ValueSide.com at the close for Tuesday, November 2nd. For all of our podcasts, articles, and references, visit ValueSide.com. Well, Treasuries rally in anticipation of tomorrow's Fed decision on interest rates and the taper. That, plus today's discussion on naked short selling, and market comment just ahead. Perhaps the most important move today was the U.S. Treasuries market, with notes and bonds across the yield curve rallying, presumably in anticipation of tomorrow's press conference by Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. The meeting itself began today, concluding tomorrow with a final word on the latest in interest rates and the taper. Now, today's rally implies that bonds, at least, think that interest rates will probably hold steady, while the taper, that is, the reduction in Fed bond purchases, will be gradual enough not to disrupt the bond trading. A look over at stocks indicates that all three indexes are close to or at near record highs. Summing up then, we have bonds, stocks, and now cryptos finishing higher. Cryptos were lower earlier in the session, with both gold and oil lower at the close. So stay tuned now for our discussion on Avis car rental and naked short selling, followed by today's market comment, the company town. Well, there's a nasty little game being played on Wall Street these days, and it's totally illegal, but totally ignored by market regulators. It's called naked short selling. Naked, because in order to sell stock short, you must first borrow the underlying shares from your broker. But if you get a friendly broker, and you're a big enough client, read, have an account worth a lot of money, the broker will, wink wink, nod nod, let you short the stock without ever borrowing the underlying shares. If you're lucky and the stock goes out of business, you will have made the total amount of the short without ever having to put up a dime. Pretty slick, huh? Today's example is Avis, the car rental company with the symbol CAR. There are a couple of things that distinguishes Avis, but number one has been that they've been skirting corporate bankruptcy for about a year now, ever since the travel business tanked. Conventional wisdom on the street was that Avis would be out of business by the end of the year. Everything was sailing along for the shorts until last week, when Avis reported really stellar earnings, meaning that far from declaring bankruptcy, Avis might actually be okay. And the brokers' phones lit up. "Get me out," yelled the shorters as they tried to buy back their positions at any cost. At full internet speed, Avis shot through the $200 a share level, then $300. Do I hear $400? Yep, $545 earlier today, as shorters would pay anything to cover their position. Now, not only did they have an unlimited financial liability as the stock price shot higher and higher, but there was also a potential legal liability for some unlucky shorter if they were caught with a position that did not have any underlying collateral. Right now, Avis has settled back down to trade in the $300 range, but that's still well ahead of yesterday's close at $195. Like firework in July, it's been quite a show this morning. And one more example of why naked short selling needs to be brought under control. Just enforce the current regulations would do it. Well, one of the saddest chapters in American history was the company town, a town where there was only one place to earn a living, one place to buy your supplies, and one place that made the laws. Here in coal country, these towns were where the mines were owned and operated by a far-off organization, which often had little regard for the workers they employed. The conditions were often brutal, and worst of all, there was not an alternative. No one to go to with a grievance. Mine workers were stuck. Now, in the 1950s, country singer Tennessee Ernie Ford had a hit song describing these conditions, which went something like this. "I load 16 tons. What do I get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you get me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store." Ha ha, the company store. the place where the same company that you worked for sold you the goods that you needed to live, food, staple, and supplies, all at inflated prices. Today we call the company store the technocracy. It's that same combination of employer and legal authority. And just like a century ago, it's a dangerous path that we're headed down. Recently, President Biden enlisted corporate America into just such a corporate town mentality when he indicated that he would shortly institute an executive order, in itself a questionable legal device, to mandate that any company over 100 employees must mandate that certain health applications that we're not allowed to speak about, the dose, if you will, be administered to all their employees. And we now have dozens of the largest corporations in the country adhering to that mandate and requiring that their workers take the dose. A couple of points here. First, the president is being extremely disingenuous in that the executive order, as I understand it, has not actually been signed. One suggestion was that it might come from OSHA, but for whatever reason, such an order has not been produced in Washington yet. So point number one, we're all on very shaky legal ground if we think that this is a requirement for any company currently. Perhaps it will come down at some point, but as I understand it to date, it seems not to be a law or a regulation. But the larger and the more important point here was made by a hamburger chain out in California. The name of this chain is In-N-Out Burger, and if you've never had an In-N-Out Burger, you're missing a real treat. In-N-Out is one of my must-haves whenever I travel to California. Now, this is a large chain of restaurants stretching across much of the state and employing well over 100 employees. When recently they were told that they must have all of their employees given the dose, and further, that they must assure that their diners who ate in must also have the dose, In-N-Out replied, and I think correctly, that their job was not to be the dose police. They were not going to enforce this new supposed regulation. That was the job of the real police or the real state authorities. And this is the point here. Our society is built on the division of authority. Private corporations are required to meet certain rules and laws, and may indeed require their employees to meet certain standards as a condition of their employment. But all are spelled out in the employment contract. And patrons must also adhere to community standards, such as proper dress and behavior to shop or dine in. But again, such standards are generally well known and time-tested. But to ask businesses across the nation to enforce what is currently little more than a presidential suggestion goes far beyond the pale. If the president would like to proceed on this, why not go before Congress? It's the large building at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue. And the way I heard it, they were the ones who were supposed to enact this sort of thing. We call them laws. And let the civil authorities enforce such standards. Last I read, that was their job. This continual rush to make new orders and to enact new regulations is undermining our way of life. This is a crisis which is now nearly 2 years old. There is time enough to present these new regulations before the people whose job it is to do just this, to explore and debate new laws and rules and regulations. There is time enough to present these new rules before the people whose job is just this, to explore and debate new laws and new regulations. Why not try using our representative form of government? It seems to have worked well for over 200 years. And that's thevaluesign.com for Tuesday, November 2nd. For all our podcasts, articles, references, and charts, visit valuesign.com. I'm David Revelle. Please join me in praying that our country may get back to work.